This call is now being recorded.
Okay, tell us what's going on around you, and will you please introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Logical Bruce. And, well, what's your name by what's going on around you? Mean with the strike, or do you mean
yes.
What's going on
okay.
around?
Mm-hmm.
Currently, right now, we are at the unit, we're refraining from working, first and foremost, because our labor is free, and second of all, it's because there's no system set in place where there's any recognition. You know, the laborers, job boarded or whatever, they're not getting any recognition for their labor as far as being reliable and useful, helping the system function, and when they come up for parole or classification review, it's no recognition, it's no incentive, it's not being reported, nothing is being translated to the parole board that this individual is contributing to his environment, to his surroundings, and trying to be responsible, trying to be reliable, trying to make improvements on himself and his condition. And so, at the end of the day, you know, it's just like I said, everything is. It's more like servitude, and it's just like I said, it's not being noticed. It's no reward.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're reading a lot in the news right now about how bad the Alabama prison system is. Can you tell us a little bit about the conditions that you're facing in there every day?
Well, first and foremost, like I said, it's lack of security. You know, with low staffing, it's lack of security. We have poor sanitation. We have poor conditions. The old, dilapidated. The conditions, like I say, it's endurable that you shouldn't have to be in a condition that you're living in where you're trying to endure. And so, at the end of the day, it automatically creates an environment where, you know, it's low morale. It's not conducive for learning, for bettering and improving yourself. You just surviving, and it creates an atmosphere of contention, chaos, and desperation. And so, like I said, the environment itself is not an environment of correction. And so, the people that do govern themselves in a manner where they have discipline and they have self-restraint and that they can do years on end without getting into any situation. So people should be recognized, like I said, by the parole board and by staff as well, not having confrontation with authority, not lashing out, not letting this aggravated and chaotic environment cause them to be extremists. And then, but yet, when they come up for parole review, it's no note that if this person can refrain from violence or navigate himself in a manner to avoid violence and avoid strife and avoid lashing out, you know what I'm saying? Then this person should be able to do the same more easily, you know, in the free world, in society, because in these conditions we live in, you know, like sardines, hand to foot. So it's no privacy, it's no peace.
Mm-hmm. You know, the image that we see on TV in prisons is, you know, prisoners just attacking each other all the time, constant violence and predation. But what I'm seeing in this strike, it sounds like a lot of unity. How is it possible that prisoners are coming together? And what's the environment like? Are you seeing cooperation? Or are you seeing chaos right now?
It's cooperation. Non-chaotic. It's non-violent. No inmates are having any contentions with each other. And neither are we showing any contentions with the authority. You know, it's simply saying that we are refusing to work because we are, like I said, there's no reward. There's no recognition. It's not doing us any good. And all that we're doing is contributing to a system that's encaging us that does not, that gives no recognition or no restoration towards rehabilitating us for freedom. So, yes, it is. It is unity. It's peaceful. And when you see the, like I said, overall, when you see the violent images of what's going on in prison, or you do see the violent report, at the end of the day, majority of the inmates are not violent. You know what I'm saying? If you do a percentage, it would be like one to, no, it would be less than 5% of the population that's having these violent incidents. And a lot of times, those same guys, you know what I'm saying, when they remove them from population, they come back to population. These are the same guys that's causing the friction, and a large part of that is because of the lack of mental health treatment, and because they put the mentally ill are in general population dorms and open dorm settings. And these people already have, you know, they have thinking error, thinking flaws, and they need help and assistance. And so you throw them into a general population, into a dorm setting when there are no restraints. And with lack of officers, the only person that can defend you or protect you from this mentally ill person is yourself. And so now it appears to be violent on violent, but in actuality, it's defense, it's protection. I have to protect myself because no one else will. And you place into these sets. So, like I said, no, it's not a lot of violence. There is cooperation, and yes, there is.
Mm-hmm. Logical Solutions. How long are you going to be on strike?
I'm not sure. We will hope. We know first and foremost it's only a cry for help. It's only so much that we can do. You know, we can't feed ourselves. We can't, you know, they can shut the water off if they want to. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have any resources. It's not a war. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing we can do. All we can do is pray for recognition that someone see our cry for help and notice there's something wrong. To me, it's the same as if it was children that was inside a home that couldn't express themselves. And they went to a school, and they, you know, they made a cry for help to a counselor or to the principal office, and they would let them know that, hey, I don't want to go home. And they would say, well, why don't you want to go home to your mom and your parents? You know, even though the children probably can't explain everything that should be going right, they just know that home is not where I want to be. It's not safe. I don't feel protected. It's not healthy. It's not a healthy environment. And so, like I said, it's just a cry for help, and we would hope that someone could. No, we would hope that the intervening process wouldn't be so long.
Thanks so much for speaking with us. Is there anything you want to say before we let you go?
Yes, I do. Are you ready?
Yeah, is there anything else you want to say before we let you go?
I said yes, sir. Yes, there it is.
Go ahead.
One of the major points that I wanted to voice was concerning with parole, and I just wanted to make this viewpoint. If a person comes into the custody of the Department of Corrections for 5, 10, 15 years, and the person, he or she comes up for parole, this person is denied without even having a real consideration or a real view. It's less of a reflection, I would say, on that individual and more of a reflection on the Department of Corrections. And what to us is what it's saying is that the Parole Bureau is saying that they do not trust the Department of Corrections. For if an inmate is in their custody for 10 or 15 years, they do not trust that the Department of Corrections has provided this person the programs and education and training and skill sets that he or she needs to in society. And so they are doing their part by denying these individuals parole, but it's not based primarily on their individual inmate. It's on the management and care system, the custodianship of the Department of Corrections. So the Department of Corrections is failing these inmates, and as a result, the parole board is saying due to public safety and public welfare, it's in our best interest not to allow these inmates to reenter society. And what we are saying is that we want the programs, we want the education, we want the correctional system that when we come up for parole and we're viewed as a candidate for parole, we are accepted and reviewed as being in compliance and ready, because they know that their system is producing men and women that are being changed and being rehabilitated, being restored, you know, and like I said, that's part of what we're looking for. We're looking for a system that works and functions.
Mm-hmm. All right, Logical Solution. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you, sir.
Stay strong in there.
All right.
All right, Doom.
All right, Swift Justice. Thanks so much.
You need some more, you know, I can get somebody else.
Say it again?
I said if you need some more, somebody else to talk to, I can get you somebody else.
Okay, great. I think this is probably all the audio we can manage for the moment. But, yeah, maybe. Do you think someone else maybe talk tomorrow?
I mean, that's fine with me. Just let me know. And how do you want me to give them your number? Call you?
Can you say that again?
I said, do you want me to give you their give them your number?
Sure. Yep. Pass it around.
All right. That'll work, man. I got you, man. Like I said again, I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for what you're doing in there.
All right, man. You have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.